Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody on this Victory Monday. How are you today, Cody?
James, I am good. I am excited that we got the victory. You know, family stuff's going on. Could be better. But all things Steelers related, it's a good freaking day.
Yeah, man.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
You were in the Badlands today.
I really had to hold myself back.
James was in Cleveland today.
I overheard some people talking about, oh, the Browns are done, man. This is it. It's over. And I just wanted to be like, yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. I wanted to pull my pant leg up because I'm wearing some Steelers socks and be like, yep, you see this?
I wore some of my Steelers socks today, too. We had to do it. You had to rep today. You did.
Yeah,
even though we were working, I might rep tomorrow. Who knows?
I almost wore shorts.
No, it was too cold this morning to wear shorts.
That's all right.
But I respect
it. I would have done it.
I respect the idea behind it. as always, it's literally the first of the month. So we're going to do a month in review for the Steelers by Lake podcast downloads and the top five downloaded states and then the top downloaded countries. So, James, what do we got?
Oh, we got, of course, the countries first. The United States of America was the number one country.
I was happy.
Followed by number two, a very new number two, the United Kingdom.
Ooh.
Coming on out of nowhere, really.
Listen,
we've had downloads from the UK before, but it's been
this
a while.
This was an insane month for them compared to normal, which was great. So,
yeah, absolutely. Number three, Old Faithful, Manitoba, Canada. giving us their daily downloads like they always do. Appreciate the downloads up there. And then a new one from Spain. So
Spain.
Some Spanish downloads this month.
If you are the person from Spain downloading, please let us know where you heard us from or how you found the podcast. Let us know. Message us on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Also Twitter, just to clarify.
All of these.
Soon to be a more intense YouTube page. James and I, just to get this out of the way real quick, James and I are in the process of trying to add a visual side of our podcast where we will be recording remotely like we are right now. Normally we've been recording with, if you get to see this YouTube video, if we get this up and get this working the way we want, you're going to see James being weird right now. But we are trying to diverse ourselves and allow there to be a visual aspect of our podcast recording as well. So if we can, this video will be on YouTube. If not, soon to come, these podcasts will start making their way to YouTube. So look forward to that. States.
Absolutely. Yeah.
States.
Top states. This past month, number one was Pennsylvania.
Woo!
Number two, Ohio.
Oh.
And number three, California. And then we had a tie. Both Indiana and Minnesota tying with the same exact number of downloads.
Ooh, they're challenging each other. I didn't hear Florida.
Nope.
Didn't hear Florida.
Nope, you won't.
I didn't hear Texas.
Nope.
Those guys were up there before. I wonder what happened. Somebody was vacationing, came back home to PA. I don't know.
Or they're deployed over to the UK right now.
You never know.
A lot of military folk down there in Texas. Appreciate all of them.
Absolutely. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for the continued support. Now it is time for, you know, the actual Steelers news. The Steelers news, obviously pregame. Pregame first, as always.
Yeah, so we always get you up to date on what happened before the game and then tell you about the game and then move on past that. So where we left off after last week's show, the Steelers protected four practice squad players per the usual routine. Number one was Taco Charlton. Number two, Carl Joseph. Number three, wide receiver and return man Steven Sims. And then number four was wide receiver Anthony Miller.
The previous draft pick for the Chicago Bears. Next week playing him. Next week.
Interesting. Him. Makes you wonder if he'll get called up for that game.
Makes you wonder. Sorry, I'm excited for that. I would like to see another face come up on the team and make some. I don't know. We just haven't seen a whole lot of Ray Ray. And when we do, it's nothing crazy. Although he had a good. Whatever. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Ray Ray is doing his thing returning.
He is. If you saw things. He's
top 10. I know. In the NFL in both the kick return.
Yeah, but that's because we keep having to do kick returns because they keep scoring.
Well, I mean, he could just be a crap return man like we had everyone before him.
I know. Last good one was what? Randall L? Probably?
Legit one? AB early
fair.
Career.
That's fair. Yeah, when he was doing that.
Yeah, his rookie year, the first time he touched the ball, he returned a kick for a touchdown.
Yeah, crazy. And then he kicked the punter for the Browns in the head. That's always a good
Juju
one.
Juju had a kick return.
Yeah,
had a kick return for a touchdown too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you guys paid any attention to the news throughout the week, you saw that Mike Tomlin was interviewed on Tuesday and asked about possibly coaching the USC Trojans, the football team out of the University of South California.
Southern Cal.
Yeah, Southern Cal. And he was a little upset. He goes on to say, and this is quoted, "Hey guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? And that will be the last time I will address it. Not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never." Okay. There's not a booster with a big enough check is what he said. And then he went on to say a little bit more. He's like, "Is anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, is anyone asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?" Obviously pulling the card that African-American coaches in the NFL are not treated the same as white coaches, period. And I'll agree with him.
He's right.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
He's right.
All. I mean,
he's right.
You're asking a guy that's never had a losing season when he's going to go coach college.
Yeah.
And even like I'm not 100% pro Tomlin right now. I'm not. I think Tomlin has had a lot of success with a lot of good players. When Ben leaves, I'm really curious to see what happens. Just hands down. But I don't believe that he just won a Super Bowl because it was Bill Cowher's players. I think he coached that team very well. And he's changed his coaching style along the way, whether good or bad or whatever. But I do think that was some low blows. I don't know why you ask about that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was just people being bored during the bye week, really. So, you know, the speculation started and then it spread like wildfire. It didn't help when Ryan Clark got on ESPN and was talking about how he felt LSU should throw as much money as they possibly could at him. And it just kind of got out of control real fast.
Yep.
And I get it. I get it if you're Tomlin. This is not anything that he's considering in any way. He's still under contract for two more years, I believe, after this year. So, yeah, like you said, a blank check from a booster isn't going to help him any because he basically has a blank check from the Steelers.
Pretty much.
It's pretty much, how much do you want? Okay, how about three more years at that rate? Okay, sounds good. Let's do this. And that's how they've been negotiating for the last, you know, 10, 12 years, whatever, you know?
Yep.
Tomlin, to me, has proven himself time and time again. I mean, how in the world do you end up with an 8-8 record when your starting quarterback goes down week one for the season?
And then your backup goes down with a concussion.
Yeah.
And then you bring in the duck.
Yeah. I mean, an 8-8 with a duck, for crying out loud. I mean, it's pretty impressive what this guy can put together sometimes. Even this year, you know, they're starting to figure out how to stop the run without two of their three starting defensive linemen, and they've been without them basically the entire season.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I think Tomlin is hands down an easy Hall of Fame coach already at this point. But I think I'd like to see, and maybe it's not him, I'd like to see more out of situational things during games. I felt like James and I talked about this during the Browns game over text, and we'll get into this more later. I felt like you got the ball at a great spot at the end of the second quarter. I realize you don't have a kicker, but you got to go try and put some points up on the board. I feel like Pittsburgh has always played this style of football that's like, we're going to play it safe. And then they choose not to play it safe once, and you get your kicker concussed, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, see, I was on the flip side of it. I felt like, you know, you're starting at, what was it, your own 25-yard line, and you got like 25, 30 seconds left in the first half.
I thought they were at like the 40 or something.
No, I think it was a lot further back than that. Mm. And realistically, you had to get a touchdown. You couldn't just try to get in field goal range. and you would only had maybe two or three plays to do it. You're trying to move about 70 yards. It's a tall task. You're going to be throwing a lot of deep bombs. You're putting your wide receivers at risk because you're going to be asking them to possibly take big hits from safeties. You're going to ask your quarterback to hang on to the ball longer because he can't just, three-step and drop and throw it. He's going to sit back there and wait. Now he could be getting hit, and he's not 100% still yet. I don't know. I just felt like after Boswell went down, it was the smart thing to play it safe and just get to the second half, regroup, come up with a new strategy for what you're going to do, because all of a sudden you don't have a kicker for half of the game, and that really, really screws things up.
Yeah, you had a punter who wasn't good at kicking, at least especially on kickoffs, but...
Yeah, that's beside the point. After we saw the kickoff, we know why he didn't try any extra points.
Well, no, we know why after the fact. It was because Ben was the backup holder, and they didn't want Ben getting his hand kicked. I think that was a Steelers Depot article that I read.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so. But that was the reason that Tomlin chose not to go any field goals or extra points or whatever.
I saw it during the halftime. Cameron Sutton was practicing as the holder.
Oh, snap. That'd have been weird.
That dude just, I love that about him, man. He's willing to do anything to help the team.
And he's been like that since he got there.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember he used to try to get into the punt return and kick return lines. Yeah.
He'd try to sneak in.
And multiple times they've listed him as like the backup return man too.
Yep. Yeah. He wants it.
Yeah.
Speaking of rumors.
Yeah. Just Cam. Yeah. Melvin Ingram. Bye-bye?
Wants out? Maybe. Potentially. Not sure. Pretty sure. He didn't play.
Yeah, rumors started. It started off first with people just saying that teams were calling to ask Pittsburgh if he was available for trade.
And everything led to no.
Then next thing you hear, it's Melvin Ingram saying that he wants out.
And badly. Yeah, now, you did see his reps drop dramatically from the previous two games to that last game against whoever the heck it was. I can't even remember now.
Yeah.
Who we played before the bye week?
Was at the Seahawks, right?
Yes. He dropped down to like 29% snap rate when he was at like 60 before that.
Yeah, because Highsmith didn't come out of the game. He played every snap.
Yep.
But that's what happens when you're not going up against like long extended drives too.
Yeah.
You don't need to come out.
Nope. And so,
but realistically, they're not going to pull TJ Watt to put in Melvin Ingram.
No, not unless TJ needs a break.
And yeah, TJ is not afraid to tap his helmet and come out for a play or two and catch his breath. He's not afraid to. Alex Highsmith, on the other hand, still has something to prove. So he's going to stay out there as much as he possibly can. And I feel like his play is getting a little better week by week.
Yeah.
So. I mean,
why
what are you going to do?
The
thing is, Melvin Ingram got you a sack in week one and hasn't recorded any since.
Nope.
So
now, don't get me wrong. I think he could get more if he played more. But
I agree.
Anybody could. But at the same point, I think Melvin realizes that he's proven that he's still got it, quote unquote, or whatever you want to call it, and wants to be a starter. I don't blame him.
I don't blame him. I get it. He wants to play. That's what all players want to play. He's had a good career already, and there's plenty of teams that their top two outside linebackers or defensive ends, whatever he would play in their system, are both better players than he is. There's plenty of teams like that.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get him wanting to go somewhere where he's going to get some more playing time. And I feel like Pittsburgh might have seen this coming, and that's probably why they went after Taco Charlton early in the year. And then last week when they went after Whitney Mercilus, same idea. I feel like they saw this coming and they've been taking preventive steps to try to be proactive. So we're recording this Monday night. Trade deadline is Tuesday, I think at 4:00.
Yep.
Don't be surprised if Melvin Ingram is moved. But if he is, they better get something good for him.
Yeah.
That's my thing. James, like, if you're going to trade him, don't trade him for a fifth or sixth round pick. That's not enough.
You can't.
It's pointless, and then it also makes you look weak in the trade market. So if you're going to get, like, I personally wouldn't trade him for less than a three, but it might be tough to get a third round pick for a guy that
If we get a fourth, I will understand. If we get a fourth, yeah. I will understand and be okay. But in my opinion, we already look weak in the trade market right now. With yeah. the trade for Schobert and the trade for...
Akilah Witherspoon?
Witherspoon.
Yeah.
We look dumb.
Schobert is a starter for us, right? Schobert's a starter. He's had some good reps. He looks like he belongs most of the time. He's not necessarily excelling, but he's not the weakness on the end, on the defense either.
No, that's still Edmonds.
Yeah. You're brutal on him, man.
Listen, I watched him have a horrible angle on an outside run this week, and I was just livid. And then I watched him have an opportunity to lay a big hit on a running back, and he bounced off of him, and I was like, bro. Or no, yeah. He got run over. He didn't bounce off. He literally got run over.
That's bad.
Yeah, I was just upset. I was just upsetty spaghetti. But that's beside the point. Melvin Ingram to be strong gone in the... one way or another.
Yeah, yeah. So either for a draft pick, which I think would be the smart move right now, since you're so weak as far as how many picks you've traded away in the last year or two here. Or if you can get somebody who can contribute in one way or another, maybe you can get a young defensive tackle that somebody's not using.
Yep.
Or, you know, if there's a wide receiver for depth, since we're down Juju already for the year.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. Maybe there's something that they could find in that way, but... I think they'll probably choose the draft pick if available.
Correct.
If they can get one in a decent round. I'll be upset if it's a fifth round. Less than a fifth,
like, I would be livid.
Yeah. Yeah, because you just keep them at that point. If you think you're a playoff team, if you think you can make it to the playoffs and make a push, you can't be trading away your top backup outside linebacker.
Nope, at least not.
But if it does happen, expect Taco Charlton to come to the 53 permanently.
Yeah.
And honestly, I expect to see that by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. Speaking of the 53 permanently, Steelers activated running back Anthony McFarlane, who got some playing time this week, which was really nice to see. But because of activating him, they did go ahead and place the defensive tackle Carlos Davis on the IR, which was something we had briefly mentioned last week when we talked about hopefully McFarlane coming back.
Yeah, and Carlos Davis seemed to be trending towards coming back to play finally. He went from not participating in practice at all to being a limited participant multiple days in a row, and then next thing you know, he's on the IR. So that means to me that either he had a setback or things just flared up. My guess is being that they were talking about this being a knee this whole time, is that it was something that was like a partial tear, and they were hoping it would heal. And it flared up after some activity, and they said, well, shoot, now we got no choice. We got to put him under the knife. So I would bet that he's already had surgery at this point on whatever it be. Yeah, whether it be a partial tear of a ligament or a meniscus or whatever it may be. You would think at this point they probably have already had that taken care of because you're not going to get him back this season otherwise.
Right.
And at this stage, you may not get him this season at all.
Nope. Might not.
Yeah, I mean, you're already week eight. So when that happened, the Steelers had to make some additional moves. They decided to release the highly talented Jalen Samuels.
Yes! We've been waiting. I mean, I still would have rather gotten the draft pick for him or something, but... I'll take the release. Yeah. We've been waiting for
this. Yeah, the problem is they would have had to promote him to the 53 and then trade him.
Yeah.
You know, you can't trade him from the practice squad, which is an issue there. Yeah. And then they signed defensive tackle Chris Slayton to the practice squad to replace Jalen Samuels.
Makes sense.
Which you assume is to add some extra depth there with Carlos Davis going to the injured reserve. Yeah. So... some moves there that could be important later on in the season. I think the Anthony McFarlane one is going to be the most significant one at this stage in the game. And as far as injuries, Eric Ebron did tweak a hamstring on Thursday in practice as well. So that put his ability to play in doubt. Ended up that he was not able to play against the Browns.
Yeah, so Steelers did release Jalen Samuels. He was signed and picked up to the Houston Texans practice squad. Good luck. That's where I'm leaving.
Yeah, he's going to do the same thing as he did with us. Nothing.
Maybe crap on the Patriots once or twice, and that's it.
That'd be fantastic.
I'd still cheer for the guy. Yeah, oh yeah. I'll still cheer for him. As long as he's not playing.
I'd like to see him do well.
Yeah. Yeah, just
and like then the Steelers did decide, of course, to elevate Taco Charlton for Sunday's game. That was in response to Melvin Ingram having a groin injury this week. Yeah, mental breakdown, groin injury.
That's all the same.
Either way, he didn't play.
It's all in the head. It's all prideful. Yeah. So now
makes you wonder, though, if there was a groin injury. It does make you wonder.
I highly doubt it. There's no way. There is. I don't believe it for a second. I don't. But now it is time to go ahead and look at the game, Steelers versus Browns. We're going to do the breakdown as we always do. We typically go position by position. And obviously, we always start with quarterback.
Almost always.
Sometimes we started with offensive line, didn't we? That was weird. I don't know why we did that, but whatever.
Hey, sometimes it's just something we're passionate about talking about, and that's where we're going to go.
That's true.
To Ben Roethlisberger, let's just go straight to the man. I felt like Ben was pretty efficient this game. Didn't feel like he had inaccuracies going on. He was under a lot of pressure, especially from wherever Myles Garrett lined up, which was typically to his left. But that really did make things difficult for him, having enough time to complete passes and see things as easily as he would otherwise. Mm-hmm. I do feel like also a lot of his passes were good, but the Cleveland defenders got there a little early and did not get flagged once during the entire game for a pass interference, which was a little crazy because a couple times the receivers were getting tackled before the ball got there.
Yeah, makes you wonder. Makes you wonder.
Yeah. But. Yeah, it was a little bit too obvious in this game, I felt. I really try to never throw the whole, like, the refs did a bad job card out there, but I really felt like they did a bad job in this game, man.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah, I mean, there were at least 4, maybe 5 times that a call either reversed the first down that Pittsburgh had already achieved or gave the Browns the first down that they did not get on the play, where they would have been short on third down and caused a fourth down. So the timing of the penalties and sometimes lack of penalties was just as crucial as it is. It doesn't necessarily have to be a ton of penalties for it to be crazy lopsided.
You could have 2 penalties that change the outcome of a game, and that those be the only 2 penalties on one team, and you could call 10 on the other team that don't matter.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, when it's like a holding penalty on one side and the other side is a personal foul that should be 15 yards and automatic first down, and then that's wiped out because of the holding call on the other side. Yeah. It's like, come on.
It's like this actually happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's frustrating because those 2 are not even at all, but somehow they cancel each other out.
Was that the one that you didn't even see the hold? Like it was like,
Yeah. It was the defensive hold on Isaiah Buggs when he got pulled down to the ground.
Yeah.
And they called defensive holding on him.
Whatever.
And you're like, wait a minute. I fully expected Pittsburgh to get flagged for defensive holding in this game because of the fact that they weren't keeping the linebackers free. And that's just a tactic that you use as a defensive lineman. You're engaged with one guy, you reach over, grab another offensive lineman. But this was a one-on-one block where he got tackled down to the ground and he was somehow guilty of defensive holding. So that one was very, very...
Whatever.
I'd say confusing, but more frustrating.
Yeah. But Big Ben.
He's keeping the turnovers down, man. No interceptions again in this game.
No interceptions and no fumbles either, which was really good. He did get sacked by Myles Garrett.
Yep.
He almost fumbled it, but he didn't.
Myles got in there a lot, man.
Yeah, Myles did an okay job. Whatever. I'm still happy we won. It was a weird game. It was a close game. It was a dumb game, but we won. Ben Roethlisberger wound up being 22-34 on the day with 266 yards passing and a touchdown. Not a horrible stat line. The only downfall is I feel like that's a stat line you'd see from a rookie. I feel like Ben needs to have either... I just feel like he needs to start throwing more touchdowns. Again, we scored 15 points total. I can't be upset I don't know. I just want to see Ben be more consistent on having at least two touchdown games, because that's the Ben we had when we won Super Bowls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Ben, and I think you'll start seeing more of that when he has more time. I think that's the biggest problem.
That's fair.
Right now.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that.
Him a more clean pocket, and in the 266 yards that he got on this game, turns into 315, and he gets another touchdown too, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just, and that'll come with time. Either Dan Moore's going to get better as the season goes on, or they're going to move Okorafor over there and bring Banner into the starting lineup. You know, they'll make adjustments if Moore can't develop more, but I felt like,
Moore can't develop more.
He just struggled with the speed. You know, Miles, every time he hit him with speed on the outside, really seemed to work the corner on him pretty well.
Yeah.
But, you know, that touchdown pass to Patty Freiermuth, man. Muth.
I was still more impressed with the catch than it was the throw, but whatever. It was a good throw.
Yeah.
It was a good throw.
It was a hell of a catch, man. Period.
It was. Moving on to running backs.
Let's talk about them.
Najee. To clarify,
potential rookie of the year?
Not yet. He's got a lot of work to do. There's about 13 guys ahead of him on that list right now, unfortunately.
He's gaining ground, brother.
He's gaining ground, but I still think he's got to have big games to end the year.
He does, but he's got to keep on getting in the end zone too.
Yes,
and
yes.
Now he's doing it almost every game. He's got
somewhere
five
another,
on the year now.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got five on the year, and I think that's really important to those votes.
I just want him to end with more touchdowns than Trayvon Diggs has interceptions. That's all I want, because right now it's stupid.
I just want him to have more touchdowns than Ja'Marr Chase.
That's also, That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. But yeah, Najee Harris,
as far as him running, he was successful. He had a lot of runs that were in that like 8 to 10 yard range.
What you want to see. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was plenty of times where he was stuffed at the line too, but that's not on him as much as it is on the blocking.
Nope.
And they at least were able to open up some holes for him, where he got almost 100 yards rushing. 3.5 yards a carry isn't god awful. You know, if you're running for 3.5 yards on every play, you're getting your first down after three plays. So.
Yep.
Or at least really, really, really close to it. So
yeah.
In the touchdown run, very impressive, man. The way he just skied up over top of everybody and soared into the end zone. I mean, how are you going to stop a 240-pound running back that's flying through the air like that?
You're not.
You're not wrong.
I mean, Ray Lewis isn't in the league anymore. You're not going to stop that. Ray Lewis is probably the only person that I could think of that might stop that. Ray, I mean, and maybe Brian Urlacher, I don't know.
Well, and the problem is, too, at that stage is how far he had gone past the line of scrimmage. It wasn't going to be a linebacker. The only person that could meet him in the air is a safety.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any 240-pound safeties in the league right now.
Nah. I think Brian Dawkins would have stuffed it. Probably.
He would have had a shot, yeah.
Yeah. That's about the one I could think of.
Yeah. Maybe Bob Sanders in his heyday.
Yeah. But my... John Lynch.
A human missile, man.
John Lynch was
John was too small.
But
he was a hard hitter, but he was too small.
That's fair. All right. But yeah, so Najee had a game. I'd like to see Najee cross 100 in this next game. I think this next game has potential to see that happen, personally.
Absolutely.
I think this should be a much more relaxed game for us to watch than the last one, but I could be wrong.
Hopefully.
I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. We could be blown out in this game. I don't know. But
I was happy to see the incorporation of some jet sweeps and some reverses in this game
where they actually gave the ball away. Yep.
In positive yardage on almost all of them.
Yeah.
This helps a lot with opening up, like we've been talking about, keeping the defense from over pursuing, which opens up more lanes for Najee as he's running the ball. Just not more lanes for Kalen Ballage, because he doesn't know when to keep on running and when to cut back and try to run over Myles Garrett like a moron.
Yep. Kalen Ballage, 1 carry, -3 yards. They didn't let him touch the ball again. Anthony McFarland, 1 carry, 1 yard. Sucks. Ray-Ray McLeod, one carry, 10 yards. We're going to take that. And then Chase Claypool, two carries for 16 yards. We will take that as well. And those three, obviously, those end arounds, those reverses that you're talking about. Didn't we do a double reverse? Yeah, that was the one. Yes, that was the one to Claypool. One of the two. Yeah, so that was really good to see. Again, I'm hopeful to see more out of Najee moving forward. Let's go wide receiver first. Wide receiver first.
Okay.
James was a little upset with Deontay throughout the beginning of the game. And then later on, he said, "Listen, take it back."
Deontay had a tough game.
He did.
He was not fighting through contact. He was not getting the combat catches. He was averaging less than 10 yards a reception. And then at the very end of the game, caught a slant pass and took it 50 yards and had the intelligence to get down in bounds to keep the clock running.
No, he didn't.
He went out of bounds?
No. He stayed in bounds, but it wasn't his intelligence. It was, if you go back and watch the replay, Chase Claypool's chasing him down, saying, "Get down, get down."
Okay, so we'll give Chase a little more credit.
If you get a chance, look at that replay again and see him chasing him. You see him just pointing to the ground. I'm sure he's yelling the whole time. But yeah, so Deontay Johnson's 13 targets, 6 catches. That's a little worse than 50% catch rating.
That's true.
Thank you. 98 yards receiving, no touchdowns, whatever. Again, most of his yardage coming on that last big play that the offense had to kind of seal the deal. Here's the thing. I'll give you credit. That was a great play call. That was a great play design. You know what that reminded me of? I think it was the overtime game. It was either overtime or end of regulation. The Santonio Holmes... No, I'm thinking of a different one. Santonio Holmes was on the sideline. No, yeah, it was Santonio Holmes. Slant against the Bengals in overtime and then took it out to the sideline. This play, he just stayed kind of on the angle that he was across the field. I feel like we also saw that happen with Antonio Brown against the Dolphins that one year. We saw a very similar play, and AB took it to the house. I love those.
Juju did that out of the slot against the Lions.
Yeah, the 97-yarder. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Good times. Good times.
Absolutely, man. So very crucial to get those kind of plays. When the game's on the line, who do you go to?
Pat Freiermuth.
And Deontay came up clutch. So really important to see that from him. Really important. Chase Claypool with a good performance. 4 catches, 45 yards. Had a combat catch in the game.
Yeah, he did.
Probably the best catch of anybody in the game from not a wide receiver.
Pat Freiermuth.
Muth, our boy.
Touchdown catch in the back of the end zone. Dude was crazy. Was very well defended on the play. Defender basically caused the pass to, or caused the catch to be more difficult than it should have. But Pat Freiermuth was able to locate the ball a second time after the initial catch. The ball got bumped out of his hands, relocated it. Grasped the ball in his hands and then dragged that, had one foot down, right foot down, and was able to drag the left foot with possession of the ball. It was a great catch. Phenomenal catch. Literally the only catch that I think that I've seen personally, I've seen a couple personally from the Steelers that have been better. The San Antonio Holmes one in the end zone to win the Super Bowl. And I've seen Hines Ward make some dumb catches before too. So I guess that's fair. Hines Ward was
late. Yeah, and the one that pops to mind for me was Jesse James over the middle. Had a jump ball situation where he caught it and had defenders draping on both of his arms trying to pull them apart, and they were not able to do so, and he brought the ball in. Jesse was just really good at contested catches like that. But that is just very clearly a calling card of Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
You give him a contested catch, just throw it to him in general, and he's going to come down with it. So really nice job again by Pat Freiermuth with Eric Ebron out this game. He's more and more stepping into the starting role and getting the bulk of the snaps. And also right by his side, Zach Gentry getting a lot of snaps and looking the part, man.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it the last 2 years, the guy that could barely get on the field. Each week he looks better and better, it seems. And now he's starting to get some yards after the catch, too. He's starting to get real comfortable with that ball in his hands. In this game, 3 catches for 39 yards, which is averaging 13 yards a catch.
It's great. Which is first down every
tremendous.
Time.
Tremendous. Yeah, that's tremendous for a third string tight end. That's absolutely tremendous.
Now, a lot of that a lot of that yardage technically came on one big pass over the middle late in the game, but I don't care. Like Gentry was showing up. Gentry proving that he's a reliable target for Ben. Being targeted five times, catching three of them. That's phenomenal. That's great. The only person who had a better catch per target, one that I will clarify, Najee Harris was 3 for 3. You also had Benny Snell and James Washington 1 for 1. But again, Gentry being able to, we know Gentry can block. He's a big bodied guy. He can get in front of somebody and push him back. We've seen him improve on his blocking over time, little by little. But he's also proving that he's a threat to be, you can't leave him unguarded. He's a threat now. And that's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not just a blocking tight end. He's a guy that can move the chains and make something happen out there. So really nice to see some added value. Didn't you say that somebody said he was up to 280 pounds now?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody told me. I thought it was you, me. Maybe somebody else.
I just said, yeah.
somebody said that he's been in the weight room and he's reportedly up to 280 pounds now.
Good.
Yeah, on a 6'8" frame, that's fantastic.
That is absolutely fantastic.
that's a big tight end, man.
Yeah. So again, the wide receiver play was phenomenal this game. If you look on offensive line, let's go offensive line real quick.
Dan Moore struggled.
Dan Moore struggled a lot.
But offensive line did well. At least he wasn't giving up a ton of sacks.
Correct. And I think the offensive line overall performed better than they have in up to this point in the season. You know, they're creating holes for Najee. They're generating the offense for once. They're not giving Ben a lot of time, but Ben has had cleaner pockets than I've seen the entire rest of the year.
And I like the edge that they're playing with. These guys are looking to finish plays when one of their teammates is taking a late hit. They're the first ones there to try to defend them, and they're not backing down from anybody, especially Kendrick Green.
They're getting the nasty.
Kendrick Green's bringing the nasty, man. He's out there ready to fist fight people on every play, it seems.
He is.
And I don't hate it. Yeah. I don't hate it at all.
No.
especially when you're going up against guys that have some track records on them, you know.
Yep.
We don't have to go into what Myles Garrett's got in his history.
Just Malik look at his
McDowell
front yard.
With his literally has been in jail for his off the field incidents. Like these are guys with a bad disposition. And there were a lot of, in my opinion, cheap shots after the play was over.
And only a few of them
piling up on Ben, driving him into the ground illegally. And
then it's flagged and then said no penalty.
Yeah, whatever. better pick that flag up. You can't be calling that if it's going to go against the Browns. Yeah. But the
offensive line did well this game, to say the least. And Kendrick Green is showing the nasty
improvement, man.
Let's just say the nasty.
Yeah, and he's improving, man. He's not being like the biggest liability on the line anymore.
Yeah,
which is kind of what he was early on the season. I like the progression that we're seeing out of Kendrick Green. I was worried about him earlier on in the year. Now I don't worry about him as much.
Yeah.
So nice to see. I want to move over to the
defensive line.
Yeah,
Cam Hayward's a baller. He could have done more still. I don't know.
Yeah.
He got a half sack.
He was getting so much pressure in this game, man.
He was. He just couldn't. It was so close so often.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing with going up against a quarterback like Baker Mayfield. Baker's not a bum. You know, a lot of Steeler fans is going to try and paint him that way, and I get it. It's a rivals, so you're always going to try to paint the opposing guy as some kind of bum or whatever. Yeah. But the thing with Cam is he's not sneaking up on anybody because he's coming right up the middle. So you see him coming and you got a chance to throw the ball away most of the time.
Baker's throwing that way.
So
or scrambling.
Yeah, Baker's
or
just
scrambling.
Yeah. Yeah. Baker's just getting rid of it. And you saw a lot of Baker missing people by a little bit, throwing it behind him, throwing him low. Yeah. Too high, whatever. And a lot of that because of pressure from Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
So I feel like his impact of the game is a lot bigger than what the stat line shows. But another dominant performance from Cam. He's climbing up that list even more on the total all-time sack list.
Did you see who was Cameron Hayward for Halloween?
Who was that?
Isaiah Loudermilk. Because look at that sack, baby. he sacked Baker too. Isaiah Loudermilk with his first NFL sack. That's phenomenal. Great to see. And then we also even got to see Wormley getting involved with the sack as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris is doing a lot better getting after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. His role is pretty much just collapse the pocket. And with the kind of pressure that you get from the outside with TJ and Alex Highsmith, you're bound to get some cleanup sacks of the quarterback just trying to run away from those guys. And that's kind of what's happening, but I'm good with it because that's what you need. That's what Tyson Alualu gave you, is just a guy that was pushing the pocket back and not allowing the quarterback to run forward away from Watt and Highsmith. And when you do that, what happens? TJ gets a sack and a half.
Yep. That's what happens. Sadly, no sack fumble, but we'll still take the sack. Linebacker or outside linebackers. Obviously, TJ Watt is TJ Watt. He had the sack and a half. He had the fumble recovery, which was very big towards the end of the game, that they gave the forced fumble to Joe Schobert. It wasn't Joe Schobert. Don't care what anyone says. it wasn't. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I'm with you. Joe Schobert was the first guy there, but it was the second man in that knocked it loose.
Yep. And I don't even think he did it on purpose. I think he just ran into him and happened to fall out. But it is what it is. That's fine. Congrats, Joe. You got a free stat. But outside linebackers played well. I didn't see a whole lot of craziness from Taco Charlton. Alex Highsmith, I feel like, was playing well. He didn't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, Alex
got
some pressure.
He got a lot of pressure, and he got a couple tackles for loss, or pretty close to it. Getting guys behind the line or near the line of scrimmage, making sure to have that edge. Only once that I remember was he beat badly to the outside on an outside run play. But other than that, he played very well. Middle linebackers, Devin Bush still isn't proving to me that he was worth the 10th overall pick. He has very high moments, and then he has very average moments. I don't want to say he has low moments. He did allow a touchdown this game, but I don't know.
Yeah, that one's on him. I felt like he was having a decent game, and then there was a run play to the left-hand side. Minka had it corralled. He had it under control. He had it so that the guy could only cut back or try to run through him. Devin Bush all you can say is he over-pursued. He had too much of an angle, which put him basically in the same path line is Minka Fitzpatrick, and he needs to have contain on that.
Yep.
He needs to be the next gap over. He did not do that. It allowed for the running back to cut back behind Devin Bush, which then also took Minka Fitzpatrick out of the play, and it was an easy touchdown for the Browns.
Yep.
But literally, we had two guys in position to stop it, and one guy over-pursuing, and Devin Bush stopped both of them from getting the play. But other than that play, honestly, I felt like gap integrity was very good for Pittsburgh in this play. In the game completely, I really was concerned that the Browns were going to run all over Pittsburgh. The way Pittsburgh's been struggling to stop the run in previous games,
it was bad.
And the Browns being one of the best running teams in the entire NFL,
number one,
this team really, really stepped up. They did a great job with controlling the line of scrimmage. The defensive linemen did not get their butts kicked. They didn't get pushed back like they've been getting pushed back in previous games.
No, and this was a better offensive line that they played. I'm like, what the heck?
Yep. This is probably the best run-blocking line in the entire NFL.
Where's the bet all year?
You know what? That just shows you that the ability is there. Sometimes it's coaching. And sometimes it's just a little bit of motivation of, hey, don't let yourself look like that, man.
Yep.
It's time to sack up.
Yep. I like it. Moving on to corners. Let's go corners first. Joe Hayden had a couple of nice breaks. I know for sure he had one nice breakup where he batted the ball out from behind right when the player was about to make a catch.
Yep.
I think more than anything, the wide receivers on Cleveland made our defense look good to that game. They were dropping everything. Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. both had probably the worst days of their career. Just happened to be at the same time. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad for both of them. But I didn't see anything crazy. Justin Lane got beat once on an out play, on an out route. That was really annoying. or maybe it was an inside play that came across the entire field. I can't remember exactly, but I know that Justin Lane got beat once early. I think it was on the first drive, and I was like, oh, here we go. But they held together. They didn't fail too bad. I don't think they...
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't call it fail or success. I'd just call it that they played.
Yeah, I feel like they did a good job of not giving up the deep ball. That's one of the most important things, right? If you're going to give up passes, give up the underneath stuff, which it did seem like they gave up a pretty large number of underneath plays. I'm still looking for these corners to get some picks, man. Now, here we are almost halfway through the year, and James Pierre is the only one to register an interception. I thought for sure we would have had some from Cam Sutton by now, and I know that Joe Hayden oftentimes is a better second half player, so I do expect him to start turning that on a little bit, especially this week with a rookie quarterback coming on, and then the following week there's some real opportunities for these guys to get some momentum going and start getting some turnovers.
Yes, sir.
But you got to start seeing that from these corners, or we're going to have some teams just start going all out passing against us on every play.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that happen a lot in the past. Not much more that I have to say about corners. Safety-wise...
No, I felt like Minka had a really solid game, man.
Minka did.
You know, as much as people have been trying to drag his name through the mud, especially Pro Football Focus and their ratings, Minka had a real nice game. Had his hands on a couple of breakups,
mm-hmm.
and hitting people right as the ball got there, too. So he won't get credit for some of those. But I would say he probably had... 3 or 4 that he was directly responsible for. So I thought a real nice game out of him. And again, that touchdown that was given up, he did his job perfectly on the play.
Yeah.
He had contained, he forced the cutback.
Yep. I can't disagree with you. Terrell Edmonds, again, I've already talked about a little bit. Wish I could have seen better play from him, taking bad angles, not making good hits, not wrapping up. Be better. That's all I got to say. That's it. I'm done.
Trey Norwood.
I don't know.
He had a nice play again.
He had, yeah.
I feel like Trey does pretty well for a seventh round.
He
pick,
does.
Man.
I almost dismissed the seventh round pick in my head. In my mind now, he is an NFL player. I don't care where he was picked. And he's an active roster player. And maybe I'm expecting too much of him because I'm just excited for him, but I don't know. He did have a good play.
Trey looks the part, and that's what I'm excited about, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that kind of stinks is it seems like his best position is free safety, and we got a pretty good one there already.
Yeah.
so maybe he can find a real passion for the weight room, put a little muscle on, and play strong next year for us.
Hey, maybe. Special teams, we talked about Ray Ray with the kick and punt return aspect of it. Nothing much more to talk about there. Obviously, you know, we had Boswell go out with an injury on a fake field goal attempt. I didn't mind the play call. I thought it could have been executed a little bit better. Maybe that's just me.
It was all bad luck, honestly. You know, when you make that call, you're hoping that they have a field goal block called, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They had a safe defense where nobody actually goes to try to block the kick. So it's just dumb luck because 9 times out of 10, the defense is attempting to block the kick, and they didn't on this particular play.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, if they felt there's a tendency there or down in distance or, you know, time of the game or whatever.
Or just
the only thing I didn't
even
like on it. Yeah, yeah. The only thing I didn't like on it was I don't understand for a second how you're an NFL referee and you do not call a helmet-to-helmet hit there. I don't get it.
He
lowered his head.
Yep.
He hit him in the chin.
Even
dang near knocked his helmet off.
What's the guy's name? Mike Pereira tweeted out about it and saying he understands that this player is a kicker by position, but at this point he was a passer. And
he's the quarterback.
He was hit late. It has nothing to do with the roughness of it. He was hit late, period. That should have been enough to get
the
call.
And not only that, it's helmet to helmet. You're not allowed to hit a quarterback in the head. You're not allowed to lower your head and use it as a weapon. There were 3 offenses. It's a late hit. It's a helmet to helmet. And it's a roughing the passer.
None of them called.
Like, and absolutely nothing called. And why? Because it would have given Pittsburgh a first down.
Yep. And I hope to see something done by the league to maybe address this or at least say something about it other than just the
head. They need to, at the very least, find the player.
Yeah.
He needs to be fined for the hit.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean,
if it's his first defense, it's a $10,000 or whatever. It's nothing big. But he does need to be fined for it.
It's big for me, man.
Yeah. Well, if you were making $700,000 a year, yeah, it wouldn't be big for you.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay. but let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about the Bears.
Oh. Are we going to talk about Presley Harvin?
I don't want to talk about
him. He is not a place kicker, period.
No. That's all you need to know. That's it. I'm not even going to talk about it more. Not.
He doesn't have any experience.
I don't even want to talk about it.
This is not a thing.
No. Sign Ocho Cinco. Listen, he can kick better.
He actually was a DCG.
I know.
Pro.
That's why I said it.
You know who else wasn't bad kicking?
Who?
Dominican Sue.
Oh, yeah. Ndamukong. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He actually was a decent kicker.
Anyways, moving on to the Bears. We're looking ahead. We're going to go over their players by position again real quick. We're going to try and keep these podcast episodes under an hour for you guys just to make sure we can get the content out there without being overbearing. As we could talk about Steelers football all day. We could make a 24-hour podcast and be fine. But
absolutely.
Quarterback Justin Fields. It's really awkward to look at this though and see that Justin Fields then backed up by Andy Dalton, then backed up by Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. It's really weird to look at, but whatever.
Yeah.
Justin Fields going to be a great quarterback, I feel like, in the NFL once he gets his feet a little bit more wet and maybe get some better coaching. Wide receivers are a very good group. Allen Robinson II, Marquise Goodwin, and Darnell Mooney are all very, very capable wide receivers. And then they even have decent backups. They have fast backups. Damir Bird, Jakeem Grant Sr. Are both very fast guys. And then Breshad Perriman, I think, was top three on another roster once before. I could be wrong. Or is that the rookie? That might be the... There's a guy. I can't remember. Anyways.
Was Perriman the guy that was on the Ravens?
Yes. Yes, I think you're right. So, again, very capable players.
Yeah. Former first-round pick.
Yeah, in the wide receiver room. And then tight end is just crazy.
Now, listen, before we get too far here, Justin Fields really struggling on the year. I think a lot of it has to do with the offensive line, but he's got 3 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. So there's a real potential here
for
Pittsburgh to really make some turnovers happen. This is a guy with not a lot of confidence right now, and it's because his offensive line is struggling, and he's just not having a lot of luck moving the ball. So a real opportunity for Pittsburgh here in this game. But continue. You said the tight end room pretty sick, huh?
Tight end room is deep. Cole Kmet, the starter, he was the draft pick just a few years ago. Jimmy Graham, we all know him pretty well from playing in Green Bay and Seattle. And then Jesse James, you know that name if you're a Steelers fan and not born last year. you know that name for sure. So tight end room is deep, and that's honestly what scares me the most about that team is that tight end room. What doesn't scare me is that offensive line at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be one of the worst in the league, man. I don't even have to look at the names to know that there's not a lot of talent here, but, you go across the board, you got Cody Whitehair, the starting guard on one side. James Daniels was a former, high draft pick, Jason Peters, Elijah Wilkinson, Sam Mustafa. I mean, this is not a star-studded offensive line at all. They're not giving him much time. I think the Browns sacked poor Fields like 9 times in that game when they played him, and we got a better pass rush than they do. So the potential is there for Pittsburgh to really light up the scoreboard with sacks.
Yeah.
And if the kid starts panicking and throwing a ball just to get rid of it so he doesn't get hit, there's your opportunity for the interceptions that Pittsburgh really needs to start getting some momentum on.
Yes, sir. And then obviously, don't forget the running back, Damian Williams. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball, defensive line, you have Akiem Hicks as the defensive tackle, Eddie Goldman as the nose tackle, and then defensive end, you have what?
Akiem Hicks.
Akiem. Excuse me. I'm sorry. That looks like an L on my screen. I thought it was Akeem, but I was like, it's an L? No, Akeem Hicks, correct.
I was like, Aklum, that's a weird name.
It looks like an L. And then, obviously, the biggest threat, in my opinion, on this entire defense, outside linebacker Khalil Mack on the one side. And then the rest, even Roquan Smith, inside linebacker, is a little bit of a threat. The other inside linebacker, Alec.
He's a quick dude, man.
He's very quick. Good. When he gets the hands on the ball, he could take it to the house. Alec Ogletree is another good inside linebacker. And then Robert Quinn on the other side. I'm not really scared of this secondary at all. I mean,
no.
One of their backups is already Burns. I think we're pretty good.
And Tease Tabor, one of the other backup corners.
Yep.
I think he ran like a 4.740 when he came out. So Tease is a slot guy. He's not an outside guy. If they play him on the outside, they need to go deep against him immediately.
Yep.
So this definitely appears to be a secondary that Pittsburgh ought to be able to take advantage of. And really move the ball down the field. Just that defensive front, they are going to get after your quarterback. But Ed Goldman is a pretty tough nose tackle. So they might have to run around him, not through him.
Yeah. And then obviously special teams, punter Pat O'Donnell, kicker Cairo. Is that an L? I don't know. I think it's Cairo.
Cairo, probably. Cairo Santos.
Cairo Santos, long snapper Patrick Scales, because long snappers count. And then kick return. Again, I talked about Jakeem Grant Sr. having speed. Jakeem Grant Sr. is their kick return and punt return guy. I think that's my biggest fear is Pittsburgh's not always great on kick coverage. Jakeem Grant is no slow turtle. He's a little bit of a hare, if you know what I'm saying. Tortoise and hare joke. Okay. But yeah, that's going to be round up the look at the teams. James and I have our keys to success. James, you want to go first? You want me to?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one. The keys for me to beating the Bears, number one, slow down a run game. That is something that if the Bears can get their running game going, that will actually open up some ability to pass the ball a little bit better and take some pressure off the quarterback. So if you can make them one-dimensional, that's really going to help things out for you. Number two, confuse the rookie quarterback. This is not a well-experienced guy, so if you throw some fun blitzes and do some zone blitzes and mix it up between cover two, cover three, cover four, cover six, and just keep on changing your coverages, he's not going to know what he's looking at, and you will be able to confuse him and get some picks. Last one, convert on third down, sustain drives, keep their defense on the field, and keep them tired. Oh, wear them down. You can put up a lot of points on teams when you wear them down. There's a real opportunity to do so this week.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. My three keys to success. One is very similar to yours. I'm going to start with that one. Not necessarily confuse the rookie, but apply the pressure with the front four. I want to see us getting so much pressure from the front four because this is the game that we can do it, that you're not sacrificing in coverage on the back end. You're not allowing there to be open gaps on coverage where players are running free, wide open for him to pass to. I don't want him to, he's a very capable scrambler. I don't want him to have the ability to get outside. I want that coverage to be there in the back end to make sure those things don't happen. Number two is I want to see us, and this goes kind of hand in hand with the first one of applying pressure with the front four. I want to see our safeties be able to corners, but I'm talking safeties too. I don't want to see deep balls converted. I don't want to see, like, Justin Fields has an arm. He can throw. And their wide receivers, as I talked about, were fast and they're quick guys. I don't want to see us give up the deep ball in this game. Even though I think they are a better running team, they're capable of passing the ball. And Allen Robinson II, I think, already has a 60 or 50 plus yard touchdown on the year because Justin Fields just lobbed it up to him. And then the last thing is I want to see improvement from Ben. I want to see Ben have a two touchdown game. Not because I think it matters for this game specifically, but I'm calling it a key to success. This is a key to success long-term wise. I want to see Ben have a game where he's going to build up his confidence. He's been up and down all year. This is the game to do it. This is the defense to take advantage of and build that confidence for Big Ben. Those are my keys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like that. One last note going into this upcoming game. We have a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
So look for us to probably record Tuesday instead of Monday. Obviously, we're not going to record in the middle of a game. but also, Chris Boswell is in concussion protocol from that hit he took against the Browns.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can clear protocol. But thank goodness it's a Monday night game because it gives him one extra day to do so. He's already posting on Instagram about saying he's going to be just fine and everything. So that makes you feel optimistic. But at the same point in time, if you start seeing the Steelers bringing in kickers this week, don't be surprised if they sign one to the practice squad just to be safe.
Yeah, not at all.
That way they can, that way they can elevate them on Monday if need be, if for some reason Boz has a setback in the protocol.
Yep. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening and potentially watching if this is our first video that makes it to YouTube. We appreciate all the support you guys have been giving us. Again, be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.